about how to discern God's leading. Thank you. How to discern God's leading. You know, we face a lot of decision-making in our lives. And, you know, starting from young age, you get to decide many things and which road to take according to the decisions you make. So if you grew up in America, maybe this looks different in the other countries. But if you grew up in America, you get to decide which college to go to, what to major in, what job to take, who to marry, when to have kids, how many kids to have, where to move, whether to go back to grad school or not, or whether to move job or not, and the list goes on. Maybe you're facing it right now. Maybe you're in that place where you need to make a decision for your life, whether to stay in Korea, whether to move your job or start a new job. Maybe you're looking for a new vision for your life. Maybe it looks like this. Can you see? Kind of. There's a man standing in the middle. Maybe we'll turn off the lights. You're on a pathway where you have to choose which way to go. But maybe some of yours looks like this. Too many options, or you have no idea where you're supposed to go. Whatever it may look like, what we know for sure is that we need guidance. And there's a good news for all the believers that we are given the best GPS system we could ever have. Proverbs 16:9, it says, "We can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps." That's right. When we become believers in Christ, we know that we're part of a bigger picture. Right? We know that our lives are not just meant for American dream. It's meant for so much more. Our God, who designed the universe, has also designed your life and is willing to lead you step by step into where you're supposed to be. That's a good news. Amen? You know, God not only created us and put us on this earth for a reason, but He's volunteering to be your guide throughout your journey of life. And we can trust God that He will lead us, that He will guide us in this journey. You know, before I go on, though, onto how to be led by God, I'm going to give specific ways to discerning God's leading. Before I go into that, I want to talk about our heart posture. Everyone say heart posture. You know, we need to have the right heart posture if we want to be led by God, right? We need to understand that our ultimate goal of seeking God's will isn't for earthly riches or for our benefits. And many of us start in this place, and that's totally okay. And, you know, when I first became a Christian, I was asking God for guidance for everything, you know, because I knew it benefited me. Like, God led me to a good place. I was sure of that. You know, God, should I take this internship or this internship? And whichever one God led me to, it blessed me. You know, I had good, you know, salary. I had good, you know, coworkers. I knew it was good for me. And what about, God, should I date this guy or not? If God said no, praise the Lord. It was good for me because he ended up being a jerk or something, right? Yes. Hallelujah. Okay. You know, we want to be led so we can go the right way, and that's totally fine. That's not wrong. We want to go the good way. We want to go the way that God blesses. You know, when Abraham and Lot were separating, a lot of people know this story because they were too blessed. God, Abraham chose the one that was less fertile. He chose the land that looked like it was not as good as Lot's. But God blessed him with earthly riches, not just spiritually, not just with, you know, some holy encounter, but also He blessed him to multiple folds, right? Psalm 112, 1 and 3, it says, "Blessed is a man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in His commands. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever." It says wealth and riches are in his house. So I'm not saying that it's bad to ask for these things. I'm not saying that it's bad to expect God to bless us on this earth as well. But I do want to make it clear that as we mature more and more, God can challenge us to follow Him to places where it doesn't seem so good or it doesn't seem so beneficial in our definition. You know, He may ask you to give up everything and become a missionary in a foreign country. That's somebody's story, right? He may lead you to a job that's difficult, challenging in every way, even though you are so sure that God is leading you to go this way. Right? Our walk with God is kind of similar to human development. You know, when we're baby Christian, it's kind of similar to being a baby. If you are saved for 4 years, you're 4 years old spiritually. Kind of. You know, when you are baby Christian, God treats you like a baby. Not in a way like, oh, you're immature, so I'll just do whatever I want. But not in that way, but in a way that a father takes care of a baby. It's a season of being showered with love, care, protection, nurturing, and that's normal. He knows how much a four-year-old can handle. But once you grow more and more, God wants to take you on a greater journey of maturity, more than just providing and more than just taking care of you and keeping you as a baby. As we mature, His priority becomes more about who you're becoming than what just being provided for and protected. You know, you can't spoon feed an 18-year-old. Can you imagine a mother spoon feeding an 18-year-old? You know, you can't protect the 30-year-old from every danger. You gotta teach him how to fight and protect himself. And that learning process is not easy. It may not be pleasant. And don't get me wrong, God will provide and protect. But He wants to mature you and strengthen you into a warrior rather than keep you as a baby. So in your walk with God, if you feel like you face hardships and struggles, even when you feel like you're being led by God, that doesn't mean God doesn't love you anymore, or He's not for you, or He's not with you. It just means that He wants to build you up. He wants to strengthen you. So when we ask for God's leading in our lives, we have to remember the whole purpose isn't for earthly riches. It's not only so that we can do things right and have a comfortable life. You know, when Jesus was obedient to God's leading, He followed Him to the cross, not to plush chairs in a big house with a Lamborghini. I don't know why I picked Lamborghini, but it was the first car that came to my mind. You know, God had a greater plan with Jesus than to just give Him a comfortable life. He had a plan to save a humankind, the entire, you know, mankind through His obedience to the cross. You don't have to forsake earthly riches. That's not what I'm saying at all. But you cannot be entitled to them or get offended when the path that God led you isn't so easy. I want to make that clear. Next slide. I want to share a quote by Francis Chan. It says, "But God doesn't call us to be comfortable. He calls us to trust Him so completely that we are unafraid to put ourselves in situations where we will be in trouble if He doesn't come through. Our priority is to do the will of God because we're sons of God." Romans 8:14, it says, "For all who are led by God, the Spirit of God, who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." We are sons of God because we're led by the Spirit of God. And the next thing we have to keep in mind in having the right heart posture in terms of asking God's leading is we have to be humble and teachable. Humble and teachable. Next slide, Psalm 32:8-9. It says, Lord says, I will guide you along the best pathway for your life. I will advise you and watch over you. Do not be like a senseless horse or mule that needs a bit and bridle to keep it under control. If you want to be led by God, you have to be teachable and humble, right? We have to acknowledge that He is the Lord and not us. We have to acknowledge that He knows better and not us. And that requires humility. That requires a heart willing to be led and guided. And that's really hard for this generation, right? Because we're taught the total opposite. Do whatever you want. You're the most important thing in your life. Be your own God. You know, the world tries to feed you messages of self-reliance and pride, but we have to fight to keep God as our Lord and ask Him to lead us. So to summarize, we have to have the right heart posture. When God asks us, wait, where am I? To summarize, we have to have the right heart posture when we ask God to lead us. Yeah. We want to be led by God, not because of earthly riches, but because we want to do the will of God as sons of God. And two, we want to be humble and teachable. So let's talk about how God leads. I want to encourage you guys to take notes if you're able. Because I think these are the things that we know, very simple. But sometimes when we're like in that panic mode of like the slide that I showed you with a whole lot of roads in front of you, you don't know what to do. But I think this will be a good guide to know how to go about being led by the Spirit of God. So number one, God leads through the Bible. Everyone say, turn to your neighbor and say, God leads through the Bible. You know, the vast majority of God's will for your life is already revealed in the Bible. Did you know that? Yes. You know, this includes, sorry, I like responding to these little responses of me, for me. Huh? This includes truths that apply to every single Christian. So Bible is always the right place to go. It's always the right place to start. Psalm 119, 105, it says, I want us to read this together, actually, if you can see. It says, 1, 2, 3. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. If a decision goes against what the Bible says, it's clearly not God's will, right? I have a bit of an extreme example is that I've heard of a pastor who left his wife for another woman, claiming that he's hearing from the Lord. And it's kind of sad, but it happens, you know, in this day and age. But when you look at the situation, it's clear in the Ten Commandments, you shall not commit adultery. Right? And Matthew 5:32 also says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. It's very clear. Very, very clear. I know this is not a common dilemma for you guys, and I hope not. But in this day and age where the standard of morality and what's right and what's wrong is getting fuzzy, you know, we have to cling unto the Word of God for guidance and leading. We have to rely on the Bible to distinguish what's truth and what's evil. Because the world is getting darker and darker. You know, okay, so 10 commandments tell us what to do. And they're, you know, clear commandments given by God. You know, love yourself, love your neighbor. But what about specific situations where God does not spell out? You know, he's not like, I'm going to pick on just a random person. Hannah, if you have to decide whether you're going to, I don't know, go to Africa or Korea, you have to do this, this, this. It's not spelled out like that. What do you do? That's where when you read the Bible, it's important to understand the heart of God more than just the do's and don'ts. Let me say that again. When you read the Bible, you have to understand God's heart to understand why he's telling you to do certain things and not do certain things. So understanding God's heart is the key. It's important to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what is your heart? God, what is your heart behind this? When you read a passage, it's important to ask, God, help me to understand your heart behind this. So when you apply this to your current situation, you can ask God for, in your prayer, God, is this decision loving? Is this decision just? Is this blameless? Is this in alignment with your heart? These are the questions you can ask the Lord. And he will reveal to you the answers through these things I'm going to talk about, through the Bible and through other means. And God also speaks to us personally through the Word. Who's ever experienced when you were reading the Bible, you feel like the words are like jumping out of the page at you, and it's like God screaming at your face in a gentle way. Not in a mean way, but it's like, hey, Maria, listen, I'm speaking to you. I love you. who's experienced that before? I hope everybody. But if you haven't, you can ask God, God, can you speak to me personally through these passages? Because you know what? The word is living and active. It's not some ancient scroll that you have to look through for some sort of manual. It's living and active because you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you, who can highlight the words to you and make it personal to you. It's a personal love letter message to you from the Lord. So what's the first method God can lead us with? God leads us through the Bible. Good. Secondly, God leads through people. Everybody say, God leads through people. God speaks through people. No, you don't have to repeat that. God speaks through people. Someone from the pulpit. You know, a brother or a sister from church. A leader, a pastor. Maybe even a stranger. Or God can even speak through a donkey in the Bible if you don't listen. But you know what's important is that it's important that you're prayerful and listening for his voice. Otherwise, you can miss his voice when he speaks. You know, I had an incident like this when I, like the boy in college. It's an embarrassing story. But, you know, so in college, I liked the boy right after I broke up with my boyfriend. So I, you know, it was just like, it sounds bad, huh? No. So we broke up, and it wasn't like right after. That sounds really bad. But it was like shortly after that, like, you know, there was a... I'm just digging a hole right now. But no, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like anything like immoral. It was just like, I broke up, but then it's like, hey, there's a great guy who's godly because the previous relationship wasn't a Christian relationship. But anyway, but I was in a bad place. I was, you know, I just went through some bad incidents, you know, in college, and I just met with God. I had a lot of family issues, and I was just a big mess. But, you know, I had this interest in this boy. So I went to my home group leader, which is like a small group leader at the time, and I talked to him about it, and he said, you know, I think you should wait because God wants you to have a whole heart. God wants your heart to be whole. Your heart is broken right now, but I think God wants to mend your heart and make it whole so you can love him with a whole heart. Sounds great, right? It's said by John Michael Becker. It was just mutual. Like a leader to a member kind of thing. It wasn't anything like that. But I respected him very much at the time, and it was hard for me. It was hard for me to accept it because I liked him a lot. And my vision was all fuzzy. You know, when you like somebody, it doesn't matter whoever says anything to you. Like, it's just kind of like, no, I think he's holy. I think he's great. You know, that can happen. So I was like, okay, what he says is great, but God, I want your guidance. I want your guidance. Let me make sure that this is from you and not from just, you know, my leader. So that same Sunday, I went to church, and the pastor on the pulpit was talking about literally loving your God with a whole heart. So I was like, shoot. And he was screaming at me the entire time through his sermon. So my conviction was very strong, and I cut off that relationship. And when I look back now, I don't know what kind of a mess I would have been in if I pursued that relationship with the person. So God's leading was very clear through people that spoke into my life, whether it was directly or whether it was from the pulpit. And my advice is, and this is advice from every pastor, is do not make life-changing decisions without getting advice. You know, sometimes your own desires can make your vision fuzzy, like me with that guy in college. So Proverbs 15:22, it says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. And I want to say this, especially with prophetic word, you know. Something I was getting on my heart as we were worshiping was God was speaking to me, this is a prophetic house. This church is a prophetic house. And I think we must not forget that we can hear the voice of God and we can be led by the Spirit of God. But with the prophetic word, it says in 1 Corinthians 14:29, two or three prophets should speak and the others should weigh carefully what is said. It's said to weigh the words carefully with multiple people, not just by yourself. Because we're not perfect, so we cannot be hearing God right 100% all the time. That's why it's important to weigh carefully what you feel like God is saying with other mature believers. So who do you talk to when you need to talk to somebody? Just anybody? No. Someone of spiritual maturity, someone you can trust, someone that is of your spiritual covering. You know, you can't see the back of your head. I don't know if my hair looks good today or not in the back because I cannot see. You know the saying, I got your back, right? We say it to our brothers all the time. We say it to, you know, friends, I got your back, right? Because we cannot see the back of your head, that's why you need someone to cover your back. That's why you need someone to cover that blind spot that you're not able to see, and that's where people's advice comes in important. But, you know, with spiritual covering, we're not saying just blindly follow whatever the leader says. But it's important to be led by that person's wisdom that he's getting from the Lord, right? And so second one, what is the second method that God uses to lead people? Godly people. Thank you, Lindsay. Not just people, but godly people, huh? God leads through people. And third is God leads through his spirit. Everyone say, God leads through his spirit. This is always fun for me, fun subject for me, because he can speak through dreams, visions, in our prayer time. He can speak to us audibly sometimes. You know, it's kind of rare. Like we hear of stories where God spoke to somebody audibly, but it doesn't happen all the time. So don't be discouraged if he doesn't speak to you audibly. But he speaks to us in small whispers or conviction, but in supernatural ways. He talks to us through his spirit. Joel 2:28, it says, and afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. God does speak to us in our dreams. How many of you guys have heard Pastor John Michael's story of how he came to Korea? A lot of you guys. You guys remember that one very important factor in his journey of being led to Korea was his dad's dreams. His dad had multiple dreams of him being at this specific orphanage with a specific pastor that he met. It sounds crazy, but God does that. God leads specifically through dreams. And statistics says, if you sleep 8 hours a day for 75 years of your life, you would have slept for 25 years, about a third of your life. Dang. So God doesn't waste this time when you sleep. He uses this time. You know, I've heard of some people getting insights, ideas, and creative, download from God during their sleep. You just have to position yourself to receive it. There is a story of a craftswoman who was challenged to invent a new way of sewing. And she got so desperate that she asked God, God, what do I do? I have no idea how to come about this. And in her sleep, she got a download of the entire process. And then when she woke up, she was able to do it exactly the way she did it in her dream. That's crazy. And for me, I get a lot of dreams. I get sometimes what John Michael calls 개꿈. Like, means nothing, or it's just crazy dream. Or there are times where I rarely wake up in the middle of the night, but I wake up and I'm like, okay, I have to write this down. That's most likely a dream from God. And when I write down all the dreams, I ask God for interpretation, and sometimes I understand it right away, and sometimes it takes me like a whole year. It's like a year later, I look back on it and I'm like, oh, this is what it meant. But that's why it's important to record your dreams. It's important to record your visions because these are not the things that come to life or come to fruition right away. So you want to be able to track back the steps that God is leading you through. So I recommend a book, which I reference a lot in terms of understanding some of the symbolic things in my dream. The book is titled Understanding the Dreams You Dream. Understanding the Dreams You Dream by Ira Milligan. 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 The subtitle is Biblical Keys for Hearing God's Voice in the Night. And that's exactly what it does. It's like a dictionary of different dreams, different, I guess, symbolisms and different words that what it means in the Bible. So I encourage you to get a copy if you are someone that has a lot of dreams. Okay? So with a dream or vision, you can ask a pastor or someone to help you interpret it if you're new to this. You don't want to just sit there and make up a meaning if God is not helping you understand it. And that's totally okay. You know, someone who is more experienced in prophetic anointing might be able to help you. Like, I think this might mean this, or this might apply to this situation. Okay? And another way that God speaks through His Spirit, like I said, is He can speak audibly, or He can speak through a small voice. Holy Spirit is living inside of us, and He speaks to us often. There's an easy way to distinguish between the Holy Spirit and the devil, is that Holy Spirit leads, and the devil pushes. And so a lot of times I think people get confused. Is this something from God, or is this something from the enemy, or is this something from me? Something you have to ask in terms of like what you're feeling is, God, do I feel guilt tripped? Is this feeling of guilt tripping or being forced, being pushed, being condemned? Or does this make me feel anxious? It's not of the Lord. It's from the enemy. You know, enemy pushes, but God leads. He's gentle. He's gentle yet firm when He leads His people. And His conviction comes, not condemnation. It shouldn't be like, oh, you will be a bad Christian if you do this, or if you don't do this. That's the enemy, not the Lord. So that's one like simple, easy way to distinguish. One example I can give you in terms of when God, you know what? No, just scrap that. It's okay. You don't need an example. I think everybody got this, right? So through prayer, you may get a thought, an impression, or deepening sense of conviction or clarity. Okay? So, but like I mentioned already, since it's easy to confuse our own desires with God's will, it's important to talk, to make sure that it lines up with the Bible, and also to confirm with other mature believers. And I want to share a listening exercise that I do with John Michael. And this is like one of the advantages of being married, is that you have one whole another person that you can do life with and kind of double check things with. Because your life is not just your own life anymore. It's your life and John Michael's life doing it together. So every year, I share this multiple times on the pulpit, is every year in the beginning of the year, we do listening exercise together. And this is something, you know, if you're not married, it's okay. Like, you can do with a close friend, close sister, or a close leader that you trust to make sure and confirm what you're hearing is from the Lord. So for us, John Michael and I, we have different topics that we pray through every year, like, you know, future, baby, job. I mean, no, we have a job, so we don't pray into job. But, you know, like what to do in terms of vision for our ministry. Like what's next in terms of the direction that we're supposed to be heading. All these things, we pray a short prayer. You don't have to pray like an hour so that you can hear God. That's being religious. I mean, if you feel led by the Lord, do it. But you don't have to. We sit together, we hold hands, and we pray, God, you know, we ask for your leading. We ask for your Spirit to speak to us regarding this and this. And we both listen. And sometimes we get a vision. Sometimes we get a word. Sometimes we get nothing. And that's okay. But what's cool is that if it's a very important decision, God a lot of times gives us the same discernment. It's like we both get a yes, or we both get the same date, or like we both get something to make sure that God's telling us, hey, this is me speaking to you. So this is a listening exercise I want to really encourage you guys to do. And, you know, it's an exercise, so do not be just making your every decision based on this. I don't encourage that. But it's a way that you can exercise your prophetic listening, prophetic gifting. Okay? So what are the three ways that God leads? Number one, Bible. Number two, number three, Bible, people, spirit. It's so corny, but it's BPS, like GPS. I thought Jay would like this. Where's Jay? You know, if you want to remember the three things that God leads you to, you know, leads you through Bible People Spirit, BPS, like GPS. Oh, that's so corny. Anyways, and other ways that you can look for in being led by God is look for open or closed doors. When, you know, you have multiple decisions and you have multiple ways you can go, like that picture you saw, it's good to ask God, like, God, can you close this door if this is not from you? Or can you open this door if this is from you? And that way, you're not really crushed, say, you get rejected by your favorite school. Because you know, you prayed and you're asking God for guidance. And, oh, maybe this means that God doesn't want me to go here. Maybe there's a different door God has for me that he wants me to go to. You're being led by the Spirit, not by the earthly circumstances, not by the situation that is facing you. But you're able to have peace in every situation because you know you're being led by the best GPS, you know, best guidance, who knows the blueprints to your entire life. And another thing I want to encourage is fasting. And fasting, I always tell new believers that there's difference between 단식투쟁, which is protesting without eating, versus fasting, which is, God, I give this up to you because I hunger for more of you. So there's a difference. Because sometimes we can get into this mode of 단식투쟁, protesting. God, I'm not going to eat until you tell me where to go. Or God, I'm not going to eat until you give me a clear answer. But no, we want to be in this place of, because I know myself, I know when I'm comfortable and I'm full and there's nothing lacking in my life, I am not hungry for God, more of God. But when I'm hungry, when I don't have food in my stomach, I'm like, God, I want more of you. This is worth it because I want to be led by you more than, you know, being full or more than being satisfied, because I'm not satisfied until you lead me. You know, it's the heart posture we want to have in fasting is to hunger for more of him. And God speaks in really sweet ways and really amazing, like mysterious ways that you would never imagine. So I encourage fasting. You know, I fast sometimes just dinner for a period of time or fast media or combined. But whatever it is, when you let go of something, you have, you know, that space for God to come in and for God to fill. So I want to share my testimony. I don't know if I share this part of my testimony, but when I had to make a really big decision in my life, God had to use all three of these ways to lead me about coming to Korea. So, you know, for me, my parents moved to the States when I was 13, and they gave me a great, you know, opportunity of life. Like, they sent me to good school, so I went to Virginia Tech and studied architecture and became a graphic designer. And I was working as a graphic designer. But in my little cubicle, one time I was like, I am not happy with my life. Like, there's something more to my life than just making money. And I started praying to God to lead me, give me a vision, give me the next step. So I started fasting and praying. I started fasting dinner. And made a list of things. Maybe I should go to California. I've never been there. But maybe it's cool over there. You know, or maybe I should go to Australia. It seems cool over there too. It was very unplanned and unthought out. Not thought out. But I made a list and I brought it before God. And I said, God, you have to lead me because I have no idea where to go. And one day when I was working in my cubicle, I don't advise you guys to do this. Don't look at Facebook. Don't look at news at the workplace, but I was looking at Korean news, and there was a big news article that morning about a celebrity, Korean celebrity, that committed suicide. And somebody's laughing, but it just kind of like hit me in the face, and I could not shake off this heart that God was giving me for those that were giving up on life, those that were committing suicide. And I started crying in my cubicle. Thank goodness I had my own room, so it wasn't like other people were watching me, but I had my own room. So I was just weeping before my monitor, looking at this news, because I had multiple, like, people had depression in my family and, you know, struggled with suicidal attempts and whatnot. So this didn't seem like some other person's story. So I asked God, and so I started praying to God, like, God, you got to do something about this. You got to do something about this spirit of suicide. There's spirit of suicide in Korea. You got to do something. And, you know, God started saying, yeah, I think you should go to Korea. And I was like, I didn't hear you, God. I started ignoring him anyways. But I was like, God, if you really want me to go to Korea, because it was a big decision for my life. That meant I had to quit my job. And my family was also going through some drama at the time. I had to leave my mom to be alone. And just so many things that I was like, God, I can't do this unless you're the one leading me to do this. So I asked God for confirmation. And God made it clear through one day a dream. You can show the next slide. I don't know if you can see it, but I will explain. It makes no sense right now. But this is a picture of my journal entry from 7 years ago. And, you know, when I was asking God, like, there were so many questions. Like, God, what about, stop trying to read it. Somebody's trying to read it. I was like, what about my church? I was really committed to my church as a leader. And what about my family? My family's going through drama. God, I want to get married when I'm 25. You know, I'm 23 at the time, or 4. I'm like, this plan's gotta go out the window. So what about all these things? And I had a dream one night. And I saw this angel. Do you see that angel at the very top with huge eyes? But in that dream, I was inside of a building, which was a church. And I saw, I was running to find an exit. I was running and running, kind of scavenging for an exit. And I passed by these weddings. And I was like, oh, I just like ran by. And at one point, I saw an angel from upstairs. Like the angel was like on the first floor and I was on the second floor. And I could tell it from really far away that she was blind. But she had these huge eyes, but she was blind. So I was like, oh, that's really weird. That angel's blind. But then in a moment, the angel came right in my face. And I was so like startled. I said, excuse me. And then the angel just grabbed my hand and flew across the building and went through this tunnel and kind of left me from, like, took me out of the building. So I escaped the building with an angel. And I woke up. You know, like one of those dreams where, like, you go through this thing and you just wake up from a dream. And I had no idea what it meant. So I talked to my spiritual leader at the time, which was John Michael Becker. And I told him about this dream. I was like, hey, you know, angel, big eyes, blind, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, hey, you know what I feel like God is saying? I feel like there are spiritual eyes that are blind that God wants to open for you. And that he's giving you this grace to leave where you are right now and pursue this place of spiritual intimacy. And even like he said, specifically prophetic anointing that was really growing and nurtured at the time in New Philly. And basically told me, like, I think that means God wants to open your eyes to see better. And so I was like, wow, that's, you know, that's one confirmation. And second confirmation, wait. And then you see a little rhino at the bottom. And then John Michael was like, oh, let's pray and do the listening. We did the listening exercise basically then too, without knowing we're going to get married later. Anyway, but we did the listening exercise and he said, I got a rhino for you. And I don't know what it means. You should just go look it up. So I went on Wikipedia and I looked it up. And rhinos are known for their blindness, almost blind sight. So it was just like immediate confirmation that, okay, God wants to do something about my spiritual eyes and open them to greater vision, right? And then, you know, a few weeks later, I was asking for, you can put it away now so people aren't distracted anymore. And then a few weeks later, I was asking for another confirmation, and I was at a retreat, and a guy named Brother Hong, it's an older gentleman that, you know, is very anointed, and he was praying for everybody, and he came to me. He has no idea what I'm going through. He has no idea what I'm trying to decide. He comes, and he puts his hand on my head, and he goes, Sky, I feel like you feel like you're in a desert, and you don't know where to go. But when you obey the Lord's voice, he will take care of you. There's going to be a highway before you for you to go. So you know exactly where you're supposed to go. And I started weeping because that was exactly what I was feeling. I was feeling anxious, like, What am I going to do about job? What am I going to do about this? And God was just making it so clear. Sky, if you obey my word and go, I will take care of you. So that was a second confirmation. And my best friend, another, you know, speaking through a person, is my best friend called me, you know, at the time. And she was talking about a conference she went to. And there was a guy named Jason Ma. Have you guys heard of Jason Ma? Yeah. I think he was a lot more active back in the day. But he was big. He was known for his big heart for celebrities and stuff. But she was telling me verbatim, hey, I was at the conference and Jason Ma was saying, if you want to break off the spirit of suicide in Korea, you need to reach the celebrities. And it just kind of like resounded in my ear. Like that was my probably final confirmation for me to drop everything in the States and come to Korea to, you know, pursue the vision that God's given me. And that was like 7 years ago. And so I came out with a little bit of money, and I don't advise this to anybody unless you're clearly led by the Lord. But I was led by the Lord because I think he wanted to test my faith in him. He wanted to test my, you know, reliance on him. So I came out. That's been 7 years. And I know that everything, and that vision's been put on hold, but I know that everything I've done for the last 7 years has been perfectly aligned with God's plan, because I've been being led by the Lord. And he's been resurfacing this vision for me with depression, suicide, and celebrities and whatnot. And I know it's another thing that God is kind of like trying to get my attention and lead me to another season. So with all that said, when you make a certain decision, God's not going to just give you a one word or this one verse and you're supposed to make a big decision on your life depending on these little glimpses. No, he wants to make sure that you know God is the one leading you. He's going to make it so clear that you cannot deny anymore. He's going to make it so audible that you'll be disobeying God if you didn't follow his leading. So I want to exhort all of us to choose God's ways. I mean, it's a duh thing, but we often don't. We have to be led by God and not things of this world. Because when we're led by God, we choose the truth and it keeps us away from sin. And when we choose God, he empowers us. He helps us fulfill his plans. And more than anything, we are his sons. We have this relationship with him where when we follow him and we are being sons of him, we are an heir of God, and we have this inheritance that God promised us with when he says, I will give you an inheritance. So in closing, I want to say just for New Philly Church, I feel like there's a lot of renewal happening. This is a season where people are being challenged to make decisions and to be led by God or by this world to make certain decisions in life. And I want to exhort everyone to choose God no matter what. Choose his pathway, choose his leading, and not circumstances, not things of this world, not what your peer says. Not be influenced by what you see. Even if what you see doesn't seem promising, you have to hold on to the promise of God and be led by the Lord. Okay. With that said, let me close us in prayer. God, we thank you that we are your sons of God. And Lord, that you have given us your Holy Spirit to lead us and to guide us, God. You are the best GPS system we could ever ask for in our lives. And we thank you, Father, that you are a loving God who created us with a plan and a purpose, God. So, Lord, help us to discern that plan, discern that blueprint, discern the steps that you have ready for us, God, and follow it joyfully, follow it wholeheartedly, God. That we may live a life with no regrets, God. Only life that leaves no regret is a life where we followed you wholeheartedly, God. So we pray, Father, blessing over all your sons and daughters, God, that you will speak to them in their dreams, in their visions, in their prayer times, God, that they will be led by your Spirit and that they will not be led astray in any situation, God. But, Lord, that they will cling onto you and make you the Lord over their lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.